Hey Dan, how are you doing, man?
It was Wanda all along. See how I changed that up?
Yes, I did. That was... I'm going to be honest, Dan, I think you deserve a Grammy. I think you now, I think we would all agree, all the listeners of the podcast,
yep.
And in fact, the LAPD, we can all agree that you deserve to just walk into Elton John's house, which I'm presuming is in LA, and just take one of the Grammys off the shelf and say, cheers, Elton, and walk out again.
Oh, I see.
And I think that's just fine, yeah.
Well, you know, I completely agree. I made that song my own.
And, yep, you did. Yeah, you did.
No one can take that from me.
So. yeah, no one can take it from you aside from whoever wrote the song. Catherine Hahn, she could probably take it from you.
Yeah, probably.
Loads of people.
Yeah. But, you know, before we get to what songs belong to me and what songs belong to Catherine...
Sorry, I just got this image of you with like a post-it note, just like, these songs belong to me, and scribbling them down,
just
slamming the post-it note
songs
on your wall, and you're just like, yes, Another One Bites the Dust does belong to me.
I own that,
that
is
my
now.
Song.
March to Spotify. Look, oh, whoa, God. Where's my fucking money?
And somewhere Brian May is just going, oh, that was like a printable earner for me and my kids. Oh.
I like that one. Not anymore, Brian. It's mine.
I know you're on it, Brian, but nope, it's my song now.
Yep, that's how
it
works.
I don't know if Brian May does have kids.
He might do. Who knows?
He might do. Who knows? Hard to say.
But before we get to all that, we've got some bullshit to talk about, don't we?
We do. We always have bullshit to talk about because the majority of things that happen in the world are bullshit to some degree.
Absolutely. So let's get right into it. It didn't come home.
No, it didn't.
Thank
fuck. To think, do you know what, Danny? Do you know what the disgrace is? I spent £10 on an England T-shirt and it didn't even come home, and now I'm furious.
You know, I saw on your Instagram that you posted that.
Yes,
and I
did.
Wow, never has someone looked so out of place in a football shirt.
I put it on and I was sort of stood there for a second, and Chloe went, "You're right," and I said, "I think this might be the first time I've ever put anything on with an England logo on it."
Did you feel like a Star Wars rebel dressing up as Darth Vader? Did you?
Yes, I felt like I was Luke Skywalker dressed up as Darth Vader.
Yeah, just all sorts of wrong.
I mean, I bought it in like XL, so it was very comfortable. So I can recommend the T-shirt in that regard. But aside from that, it was
yeah. I mean,
a
as
t-shirt.
Long as it's baggy, you know, a bit of comfiness, you know. So, in case you didn't know, it was the Euro 2020 final.
It was.
It was last night, but you'll be hearing this probably. After
in
that,
about 3 months' time, or
yeah,
who knows?
Yeah, before after everything has died down, you know, once
hot on the pulse, shouting into the void.
Yeah, so what we do is we talk about things like without any nuance, but months after it's happened.
So should we try and guess things that are going to happen by the time this comes out? So this episode will be coming out on Sunday, which would be the 18th of July. What's
I'll
happening
have...
on the 18th of July? Have a guess.
Well, see, I'm not going to guess because this is also a bullshit segment, so I'll have this
earlier
true. Than that.
Good point.
So we'll see how it goes. But let's talk about it. So it was England versus Italy.
Mm-hmm.
And England lost 3-2, was it?
Yeah, I don't really understand how the penalty system works on the final score, but yeah, 3-2, I think.
Yeah, and there was a great amount of anticipation among England fans for football to come home, and to show how you know excited they were about the prospect of football returning home after its long holiday. They decided to break into Wembley Stadium, destroy Leicester Square, shout racist abuse at three of the England team players, and after the match proceed to beat up people who were leaving the stadium. And I'd like to say that this is not all England fans, so I'm not painting all England fans with a big brush, but there is enough of them doing this to just make me feel really fucking sick, to be honest. So that's how I feel about the full situation.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. It's really shocking stuff. Because Chloe showed me a video this morning of it was one of those things. You said it was, I think it was Italy fans, or I mean, they were wearing blue shirts, so I presume they were there to support Italy, coming out of the stands and like going through a corridor, and England fans, or you know, people wearing white shirts, were like sort of hurling abuse at them, physically attacking them. It's just disgusting behavior. Like, I know this is not a hot take. Like, obviously we stand against any kind of ridiculous things like this, but like, it's just terrifying to see it, because like, if things had have been the other way around, like, would I have expected to see this? No, I wouldn't. I would not have expected to see Italy fans like berating and attacking England fans. I don't know what it is. It's just terrifying to see.
Yeah.
And it's terrifying to see the way that the England fans have responded to players that up until now they've been praising so intensely. Because the way that the penalties work, there were five players that took a penalty and they did one each, like. And two of the penalties went in and three of them did not. They were scored or missed or whatever. I've completely fucking forgotten who scored the penalties. But the ones that missed were Marcus Rashford and the other two, whose names I said before we started recording. But
you
have
did,
now
and
entirely
it was, I was
forgotten.
Like, oh yeah.
Sancho and
Saka,
that's it, yeah, and they are all people of colour. So there's just this horrific racism has come out of the woodworks, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, these three people have ruined it for the entire country, and yep. Hurling racist abuse at them, and it's like, mate, Jesus, it's like, it's 20 blokes on a field kicking a ball around, calm your tits, Jesus.
No, absolutely. And while this is going on, you've got Boris Johnson saying it's the right of fans to boo the football players. You've got, and then after this happens, Priti Patel and Johnson say, oh, we cannot stand racism. Well, if you're encouraging a culture like that, then what the fuck do you think is going to happen, you know?
Darius just raised a really good point. Saka is 19. That's insane. I'm 21. He's 19, playing for England, like, all in front of the entire world, and getting this racist abuse hurled at him. Isn't that insanity?
It's absolutely disgusting. Just,
and you're completely right with what you said about politicians essentially coming down on the side of racists, which is just terrifying in itself. When there was a furore about England fans booing when England players were taking the knee to signify their support for the Black Lives Matter movement. And there was a big sort of uproar about that, about how the fans were booing. Yeah. And like you say, Boris Johnson was just like, well, you know, they can boo if they want. Isn't that terrifying?
Yeah.
Is it not? Should we not have a prime minister that's against racism? Should we not, maybe? Should that not be a goal?
He talks about being bullied into taking the knee, you know, as if there's hit squads of woke people going about saying you must take the knee. No, it's just about fucking respect and just about being aware of things that are affecting lots and lots of different people. But you know, it's just, I have a feeling that the sort of support that these three players had was tenuous at best, because any mistake that they make because of the absolute unchecked racism of a significant minority of England fans, it's just going to be, you know, irrelevant whether they won or not, if England won, they would still get racist abuse. It's just the fact that they, you know, was it Saka that missed?
It was, I think it was Marcus Rashford, I think, hit the post. I think the other two were on target, but the goalie caught it.
So even if he got in 80 times, that just still wouldn't be enough. It would still be, you know, just constant abuse. I mean, some of the stuff that I've been reading on Twitter is just absolutely disgusting.
Yeah, completely.
The fact that Twitter is still keeping some of it up is just ridiculous. You know, you've got Johnson saying, The England team deserve to be lauded as heroes, not racially abused in social media. Those responsible for this appalling abuse should be ashamed of themselves. And then the top comment underneath is, you didn't defend those players taking the knee. You didn't condemn the booing. You stand in the burned building, still holding the matches, and expect to be praised for expressing regret at the fire. We see you. We do see you.
It's utterly preposterous. Yeah, the thing that really gets me about it is the fact that Marcus Rashford obviously did all that amazing work to help impoverished families during the start of the pandemic, which I believe he's still doing now. And I saw online some of the great stuff that the other two players have been doing as well. I think one of them opened a number of football pitches across London, so that I think that are like free of charge essentially. So if you are a poorer kid that wants to play football in London, you can go to one of these football pitches and play free of charge, which is obviously fantastic. And it's just so disappointing to think that just for that one split second thing that they did, which, let's be honest, the majority of these people calling them such horrendous things and talking about them in such horrible ways.
Yeah. Just giving people free license to do so.
Yeah, exactly. Plus, could they do anywhere near as well? Do you know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly. You know, it's Are you ready for a big hot fucking take, Lewis?
I'm ready for a spicy take.
See, if football, specifically British football, like, it's the same up in Scotland with where you get Rangers and Celtic, you've got the whole sectarianism thing there, right? See, if it elicits this sort of response, then it just shouldn't fucking exist. If adults, fucking adults, can't just enjoy a game of people kicking a ball about into a goal for some points without being racist, without being abusive, without beating up people in the streets, without destroying fucking, you know, square miles of fucking squares, then it just shouldn't be allowed to exist.
I know what you mean. Yeah, it's
a game. Why is there so much hatred and just tribalism, like, put forward to this, and people that, you know, a 19-year-old fucking who's essentially a kid just getting absolutely lambasted by these utter fucking morons.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, the trouble with like, it shouldn't be allowed to exist is, like, it's like, you know, when you were, like, in class at school and one kid kept giggling at the back, and that meant that all of you had to stay in at break. That's the problem with doing it that way, is that you're right, it's an extremely noticeable minority because they're so loud and aggressive about it.
Yeah.
But you're souring the pudding for cutting off your nose to spite your face.
Yeah.
Which, while I understand the temptation, is, you know, it's not tenable, but on some level I do agree with you. It's like, if you can't just take a fucking breath, maybe take a step back and say, okay, what's wrong in my actual life that I'm this furious about a game of football? What has gone wrong in my life up to this point that this is the situation I'm living in?
I mean, at the very least, a lot more should be done to sort of stop violence like this, and the fucking Prime Minister of the United Kingdom should not be expressing opinions on football, because it's the same nationalist tripe that this is in his interest.
Yeah,
to have people that's why he wouldn't denounce it when racist fans were booing as players were taking the knee, because it's, you know, it stokes his interests. You know, having a lot of angry white people. You know, that's how it always fucking happens. And I don't want to get all
votes. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to be all fucking conspiratorial, but, you know, angry white people, if you've ever read a history book, leads to a lot of fucking disaster, if you ask me.
Yeah. It leads to essentially the vast majority of disasters, I would say. Looking back through history books and all that sort of stuff. That's perhaps a small token of bullshit for this week. Thankfully, the Euros are over, so we can stop talking about horrific amounts of hooliganism and destruction of property and racist abuse. Which is, you know, a shame, because I enjoy watching football That's the end thing of it, is that, like, football is a very well-designed game, and it's interesting and fun to see sort of skilled players and skilled managers play football and make tactical choices. It's an interesting, fun thing to do, and I enjoy it. I enjoy sitting on my sofa and watching it, but the jumping off point should be the point where you feel the need to get out of your house and go and scream a racist abuse at someone. Absolutely. Do you know what I mean? At what point do you get... It's just... It's a game, boggles folks. My mind. Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah. It's a game that everyone should be able to enjoy without being abused.
Yeah.
And if that's not obvious to you, then I feel very sorry for you.
Yeah.
But let's... Oh, Euros are over. I'm not talking about football for at least another fucking decade. So
I think the World Cup's next year, so we might have to talk about it then.
No! Know. Oh, well, thanks for listening, folks, and we'll see you next time.
Never. Yep, we're ending the podcast now because of all the football.
Yep. Well, I think it's time that we talked about WandaVision.
I think it is time we talked about WandaVision, yeah.
We're here, yeah. This is the 81st episode of the podcast.
God, isn't that mental?
I know, it's so weird. It's so weird. WandaVision on Disney Plus was created by Jack Schaefer, and it was directed by Matt Shackman. Shackman? I'm going with that. I don't even think it was Shack, right, do you know what? I'll search it. I won't rely on my shitty handwriting.
I've got the IMDb page open now. Let me have a... Jack Schaefer, is that what you're trying to say?
It's Matt Shackman. He directed it, yep.
Matt Shackman, okay, yeah.
Yep, and it is starring Elizabeth Olsen, Paul Bettany, Deborah Jo Rupp, and Catherine Hahn, and some other people as well. Do you have an opening statement?
I do have an opening statement. Yeah, this happened. I really enjoyed this show, but I think there was a lot of questions left unanswered and stones left unturned, which was frustrating. It's, while the good things don't detract from the bad and the bad things don't detract from the good, it's you have to acknowledge that they're both there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. An incredibly stylistic show, unique to anything Marvel has put out before. What a truly refreshing turn of events. I hope it doesn't give up at the end to Marvelize it.
I hope that doesn't happen, you're right.
Yeah, that would be a shame. Okay, do you have any Creepy Room questions?
Not quite so many Creepy Room questions. I think I'd like to start off with some Creepy Room things that I liked. CRTTIL. Creepy Room likes. Yeah.
Creepy Room
I liked.
Likes, yep.
Yep, that's the one. I liked how beautiful it was all the way through. How the sort of different. As the different eras changed, it was all very stylistically done, which I obviously really liked. I thought that was very pretty.
Yeah.
I do want to say, Catherine Hahn fucking stole the show, didn't she?
She did.
Absolutely astonished. Could not keep my eyes off her whenever she was on screen. Really, really good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the look of the magic that Agnes did. I liked the... She's in her coven basement thing. I liked the tying it into the Salem Witch Trials. For some reason, I quite enjoy when shows tie things into sort of historical events like that. I like when it has a sort of interesting grounding. I like Paul Bettany. He's got a great voice, hasn't he? He's got a brilliant voice. I there are lots of things in this show that I liked. I'm sure I'll think of more, but those are just the ones I wanted to quickly hop out of there. It was lovely, absolutely lovely to see Randall Park again as Jimmy Woo. I absolutely love him. He was brilliant. Jimmy Woo was great. Kat Dennings as Darcy Lewis, obviously, but also great. So that was nice.
Absolutely. I really like the progression of the sitcoms. I mean, they nail it like completely with the specific shots that they do and the aspect ratio of the actual filming, especially when they get to Modern Family and stuff like that, and the sort of office riffing. It's like that is just so on point with like the side segments of like Wanda speaking to the camera. It's just so. It's. I mean, it doesn't really make sense canonically because, it does because she watched
a lot of different sitcoms.
Sitcoms in the Avengers compound as well. So, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, and I did like how it sort of, they created feelings of tension by getting you used to a certain method of shooting something and then switching it up a bit. Like, right in the first episode, they got you used to that that method of shooting, which I always think is like someone just put a camera in front of a stage play. The camera stays fairly static and the people just walk around in the set. And then I like that as that guy was choking, it suddenly you had very, very long shots and the camera was moving a lot. And it was something that you didn't see a lot, and I quite liked it. It was good.
Yep, absolutely. I really like that it's a mystery. You know, it's like they don't give you all the information right away, and it's something that you sort of have to
piece together.
Yep, exactly, definitely. I like how when we get in touch with Monica Rambeau, that you get to see life a little bit after the snap, after everyone's brought back. I quite like.
Yeah, that was good. What was I going to say then? I like that the town was hexagonal. I liked, just because I like hexagons, there's no great significance to that. I just think hexagons are great. Kat Dennings is always very charming. I find her, she sort of grates on me after a while, but she is, there's no denying she's a skilled performer and she is very charming. You're right. So it's, I think I just told myself I was right, but yeah, very charming and yeah, always very good.
Yep. So that was about everything that I liked in the show. Obviously, all the performances were really good. As you say, Catherine Hahn really stole the show. Elizabeth Olsen as well. You could feel her sort of grief and stuff like that. Are you ready from...
There's a number of things that Danny didn't like, and we're going to get through them all one by one.
Yep. So I've wrote this down.
Okay.
Are you ready to hear a really hot take?
I'm ready to hear a hot take.
Wanda was made way too sympathetic and should have been killed.
Jesus, okay. Should have been killed might be a bit strong.
No, should have been killed.
Okay.
Should have been just Vision should have punched her through the head. She should be gone.
I think I disagree with death as a result of a crime pretty much always. But yes, she did do horrific things. And at the end, they're just sort of like, oh, Wanda, you sausage, that's all right, don't you worry.
Yeah.
Frustrate me, yeah.
See, when I say death, I mean in the context of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, like when they just kill Ultron or something like that. Like, because Wanda has done things in this show that rival Avengers Big Bad, you know? Just for context, so Wanda's incredibly distraught about Vision's death and is still grieving intensely, and does she steal the body? I can't remember.
I don't think she does. No.
No, but she eventually goes to this place called Westview, and essentially creates this spell called a hex, that Darcy sort of coins, and mentally enslaves the entire town, thousands and thousands of people mentally enslaved, and are all part of her big fantasy to reanimate her dead husband or boyfriend or whatever you want to call it. At first it was an accident, so you know, that's fine. But
she started to realise,
By the 70s, she was completely aware about what she was doing, and she continued to maintain the facade. So that's probably up there with some of the worst sort of Marvel villains in existence. And by the end of the story, because she somehow didn't know that they were being mentally tortured, that somehow excuses what she did. Like, mentally enslaving anyone or any number of people is if it's an accident, fair enough, but see if you realize that you're doing it and make a consistent effort to continue.
Yeah
Then that's just it's unforgivable.
It's morally reprehensible. I completely see where you're coming from. I mean, I don't really agree with she should be put to death, because I don't really like that for anything. But I do understand that, yeah, she should have had an actual punishment at the very least, to put her in the raft or whatever.
Well, I think she's a monster, honestly.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. I completely understand and agree.
I absolutely hate Wanda now. Like, I think she's a horrible character that was let off the hook way too easily. Yeah.
I'll be interested to see if we get some kind of... I mean, we won't, because it's Marvel. But I'll be interested to see if we get some kind of, like... Not a learning experience, but if we see Wanda trying to make up for it. Yep. If she's, like, sort of, I don't know, doing some kind of volunteering or just trying to help people in some way.
Yep.
I'd like to see that. I don't know if we'll get it, but I would like to see it.
Are you ready for another hot take?
Yeah, go on then.
They tried to make the Sword Director way more villainous than he actually was.
Yeah, I didn't get that, really. Because he was arrested at the end, but what did they really arrest him for?
Yeah, so he tried to shoot the kids, right?
Oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense.
But if you're going in to stop a huge supervillain from enslaving a town and she creates children to fight you, you're not the one that's morally wrong for continuing what you were trying to do, if you know what I mean.
I know what you mean, yeah.
She essentially recruits child soldiers to fight the military because she wants to maintain the fantasy that she's created.
So Tommy and Billy, were they children that were already in the town, or did she just create them?
No, she created them.
Okay, yeah. Because the only argument I would have with what you said is there's an argument that it's like a new form of life. Like in an episode of Star Trek or something, you can see...
Oh, no, they're alive. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. So having a guy just walk in and straight up shoot him in the head, that might be a step too far. But I can understand wanting to shoot Wanda. Or even Vision, who is... I don't know, I kind of get it, but...
Yeah,
enslaving children is not great.
No, I mean, and like, they play it as like some sort of fucking Incredibles bullshit, where they're like, Wanda's like... Kids handle the military while mummy's comes right back. What the actual fuck?
That's a good point, because when you consider that, essentially, if she was Tony Stark, they'd be two little robot boys that were like yeah. That's really a good point. I want to put my children in harm's way so that I can defeat the military. Yeah, that's a really good point. Plus, I suppose the other things that, like, we don't really get. Like to see a face of a soldier, which is something that always bugs me in a lot of things. But
yeah.
The majority of the sword goons are just that. They're just like guys. They don't have faces, even though they do have faces, of course. Take off the helmet and the mask and stuff, and underneath there's a guy, and he goes home to his family. Do you know what I mean? It's gross to think of. Yeah, she's telling children that she's made to murder people.
Yep.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Vision's like, oh yeah, we haven't really prepared you for this. And Wanda's like, but you were born for it. What? They were born for combat because you knew that people would be upset about you enslaving an entire town? Like, Jesus Christ. It's just the only two people that see Wanda for what she is are portrayed as like villains. Agatha sees it, the Sword Director sees it, and everyone else is just treated lit as if they're fucking idiots and just have no issues with it. Monica Rambeau's lit. No, she's misunderstood. No, it's fine. They'll never know what they sacrificed.
Yeah,
they'll
the
never
point
know
at
what
which
you sacrificed
became,
for them. What?
Yeah, the point at which she became a villain was the point at which she decided to deliberately continue enslaving people, essentially. Because when it's an accident and then you discover and you go, oh my god, I didn't mean to do that sort of thing, it's sort of excusable and it's sort of... It's what Monica says of, like, after the snap, when my mum... I woke up and my mum was dead. If I had your powers, I would try to bring her back. That's an understandable thing to say, but if the bringing your mother back... And who I would like to quickly add, wouldn't really be your mother. It would be something that looked like and spoke like your mother, but it would not be your mother.
Yeah.
If bringing that construct to life required mentally enslaving a town full of people, including children...
Yep.
I think after a while you'd see the balance there. Yeah, Wanda is extremely morally corrupt.
Yep, absolutely. And it's portrayed as like, oh, how dare the townspeople sort of look at her as if it's like, oh, they'll never know what you sacrifice for them. What? Who fucking wrote this absolute shite? I was so angry watching this show, because it seems to me that Disney is on this path of like making like sort of specifically female characters do really fucked up shit and portray it as like something that's meant to be like celebrated. You've got Cruella coming out. Well, it's out now, which is about a woman who wants to skin dogs to make a fucking coat, and that's portrayed as like, I am woman, hear me roar and stuff like that. It's like, is that what feminism is to these people? Is that what it's about? No. Should it not be about actually decent, morally upstanding women showing everyone else how to behave rather than she's sad, so she enslaved an entire town and created child soldiers to fight the military? It's like, it really gets in my gears. It really grinds them, honestly. It really pisses me off.
I understand. I do understand what you're talking about. Yeah, it's fucked. It's I know what you mean. It is fucked. I've got nothing more to add. I don't know why I'm just stalling. Have you got any other hot takes?
I think so. So at the end of the show, Wanda just comes across as like Thanos after he snapped half the universe. You know, she's sitting on her porch,
drinking tea, and
I finally rest, watch the sunset in a grateful universe. Like, what? Like, it's so weird. And in the back, obviously, I think what they're going to do, which gives me a little bit of hope, is that they're probably going to set her up to be like a villain.
Yes, I think that'll be the case, yeah.
At least have a dark sort of streak. But, you know, if the show was at least like morally consistent in any sort of way, all the sword people would have contained Wanda and imprisoned her for her actions. Maybe not like killed her, but like, even if she, like, see, even if it was an accident, she should still be like just contained because of the level of power that she has. Like, she's essentially a human nuke at this point that's incredibly mentally unstable, that needs, like, therapy or something like that, that needs to be helped.
I'm not sure if I quite agree with, on the basis that she could do something horrific, we should just presume she will.
No,
I'm
but
not
she
sure
did.
If I quite agree. No, I know, but the point I'm making is, like, I don't like the idea of imprisoning someone on the off chance that they'll deliberately cruelly do something. Even if I know that she did cruelly do it, but in the idea of, oh, she accidentally did this thing and now she's apologizing, wants to make reparations, wants to, surely it's better to allow her to, this theoretical alternate timeline version of Wanda, surely it's better to allow this other version of Wanda to do the good deeds that she wants to do rather than to just say, no, you, in theory, you have the power of a nuclear bomb. We need to contain you.
Well, I mean, I suppose that's more of a difficult one because, you know, if you can't go about accidentally enslaving thousands of people.
No, you can't.
Do you know what I mean? So it's like,
at the very least, she needs therapy and Professor X to come in and be like, oh, let's control your power. Boop, 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 boop. And then he looks inside her head or whatever. That's what she needs at the very least.
Yeah,
don't get me wrong, you can't just let her walk off. You can't just be like, oh, well, you said sorry, so go and get yourself a slice of pizza, that's fine, it's alright, don't worry.
I have no idea why, like, as she was walking away, she just wasn't, like, sniped. Like, I mean, like, oh my god. maybe I'm coming across as a bit harsh here, but she is, like, an actual fucking menace, you know, like, just an actual villain at this point. Like, I know they tried to make it ambiguous and it's like, oh, I lost my family. A family, by the way, that she fucking created.
Yeah.
And it's like, they'll never know what you sacrificed. She didn't sacrifice anything. She put them in that position and then created a family and then just gave it up. You know,
it's like saying, such and such business lost a certain amount of money because of COVID restrictions.
Yeah,
no, they lost a theoretical amount of money. And that does sound quite cruel, but you know what I mean?
It's the equivalent of, like, kidnapping people, putting them in a basement, and then, like, the kidnapper gets some sort of Stockholm Syndrome family out of it, and then when they're eventually let go, the police officers are just like, They'll never know what you gave up for them. Like, what? That's essentially just what it is. It's so weird and it's just so strange. Just the fact that they're portraying it is just something that's like, yeah, but we'll see what happens next time. It's like, why wasn't... I just find it really weird. I just don't know why that happened, you know? Like, she mentally tortured these people for months and just is completely off the hook like that and gets to just live in Sokovia or wherever she is, you know? It's just really strange to me. But see if they were going to do that. They set up this really interesting moral dilemma, right?
Where, yeah.
Like, people had to decide what was going to happen. And then they just introduced Agatha as, like, the big villain the whole time to try and, like, take the responsibility off Wanda and just have a big Marvel fight at the end.
One thing that did get me was it was Agatha all along. Well, what was, though? Because it's still sort of Wanda doing the horrible things. Yes, Agatha, she killed a dog and sort of was sowing seeds of chaos, but that wasn't... She also was just kind of fucking about for the entire time. Like, she didn't, aside from the dog, which was a fake dog, actually, now I come to think of it,
yep.
She didn't really do anything, did she? She just, I mean, maybe it was a real dog, I suppose. I suppose somebody in the town could have had a dog. But do you see my point?
Yeah.
It's Agatha, what was Agatha all along? I don't get it.
No, I mean, she reanimated Quicksilver. To sort of try and manipulate her a bit more, I guess.
Well, sort of. She got a guy and said, pretend to be Pietro, please. And he went, all right. Do you know what I mean? It's not...
Yeah, I suppose. But it's like, you know, I don't...
Which is a tragedy, because I loved Catherine Hahn's performance, and I would love to see Agatha Harkness in something else.
Yeah.
In Multiverse of Madness, in some kind of future Scarlet Witch property, I would absolutely love to see her come back, because I love the character, and I love how she was played, I love the performance, I love the aesthetic, I just thought it was all really brilliant.
Yeah.
But it's a shame that she essentially did nothing worth anything, do you know what I mean? She just kind of was there.
We'll probably end up seeing her again at some point, which is good because she was. I really liked her in this. So they've retconned Vision. He'll be back now.
He will.
Doctor Who mind transfer shit. So that's wow. No consequences there.
I know.
Basically,
that does
any fucker
off, yeah.
can just come back.
Yeah, and the other weird thing about yeah, that's what I was going to say about Vision. Is what is his... How is he affecting these things? Because his powers are fly around, shoot stuff with your head laser, and...
disappear.
Yeah, what's the word? Change your molecular density or whatever.
Yeah.
So how is he affecting... Like the computer that he affects, and then the guy in the office, whose name I have completely fucking forgotten, Norm, and everybody. How is he actually affecting their brains? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. And like, why? Like, Vision, like, was the one to sort of like hold Wanda in her room for like accidentally sort of destroying a tower block, and yet this Vision, who has shown that he definitely has the sort of same sort of head as Vision, doesn't like just disable Wanda, you know, like just like shoot a laser at her and just like you know. Try and...
I might be misremembering this, so please do tell me if I am, but wasn't it in Age of Ultron, when he was sort of confining her to the compound, wasn't it that it was a PR thing? So it was, he was like, no, I think you should be able to go to the shop if you want, but it's a PR thing. Tony Stark is saying, like, you know, she killed all these people in Lagos. I've never quite been sure how to pronounce that.
Lagos.
Is
it not in Civil War?
Oh, it might be. I'm not entirely sure. But my point I'm making is, wasn't it a PR stunt thing rather than Vision making any kind of moral judgment over her?
Yeah, well, it was... I mean, it was for... I think it was for other people's safety as well as just, you know, a PR thing.
I might be misremembering, but I don't think it was, you know.
Well, I mean, he made...
Hard to say. We are both just trying to remember a film that I don't think either of us have seen since 2014 or whenever it came out.
Maybe Darius will remember.
Maybe.
But maybe not. I don't know. But I don't know. It really pissed me off.
No, I know what you mean.
When I was watching it, I was just like, how can it be that the two worst people in the show are the only ones that can see this monster for what she is? It's like, it's so objectively wrong what she did. And I don't know. I just think it's really weird.
No, I completely know what you mean. The only thing, that's one good thing I would say about it, is like, if they do decide to turn Wanda into a villain, which I really hope they do, because if they don't, then it's essentially you're losing respect for human life in this world, which is the entire thing that had the Civil War film about. That was essentially what that entire movie was about. But yeah, if they do turn her into a villain, then I suppose then it is, in a way, it's quite comics faithful, and that gives us some quite interesting things. What with how mutants can be introduced into the world now. Are you familiar with the House of M comics?
Oh, yes.
No More Mutants is like, Wanda says, no more mutants, and then they just all go. Yes. They either just lose their powers, vanish, whatever it might be. And so from then on, Wanda is considered a dangerous lunatic. And so in the comics, she's always quite morally grey and an interesting character because you don't know what she's going to do. And that makes her interesting to sort of read about, to write about, I presume, as well. So, good, maybe. I would like to see interesting things happening, which is good. We going to get them? There's like a 50-50. I really don't know.
Nah, true. I mean, see if they made it an accident, right? And then after an episode, she realised and stopped. And then the sword director was trying to kill her. And the rest of the show was about her trying to escape and Monica Rambeau helping her. Then that's fine. That's more... She's morally sort of grey. But she's still a hero in that respect because she didn't realise what she was doing. But it's just the fact that she just consciously did it. And people have said, well, she didn't know that she was mentally torturing them. It's like, it doesn't matter. She enslaved an entire town of people.
It's similar to the Killmonger thing of when...
At least his motivation was justified, though.
Was it? Didn't he want to get Jessica Jones to sleep with him? What? what was Killmonger's motivation? No, not Killmonger. Pilgrave. That's what I'm thinking of. I was very confused. I was like, what? Sorry. It's similar to Killgrave.
He was a psychopath. He was a psychopath.
He knew he was causing people sadness and harm and stuff, and he kept doing it anyway. That's kind of what Wanda was doing, maybe.
Yeah.
Because
when you said Killmonger, I was like, wait, what? But yeah, I don't know. I think that because when we leave her, she's got that book, and I looked up the Darkhome. MacGuffin. I looked it up, and it's basically like this evil book that. A dark sort of god transferred his essence into it. So it's essentially the One Ring from Lord of the Rings, right? And apparently it's if you're reading that, then it's really, really bad. So I'm guessing that they're going to be doing something with that, I hope. But who knows? I'm sure she'll destroy an orphanage or something like that because she was sad and everyone's like, oh, it's okay. It's all right.
She was grieving. Don't worry, everybody.
She was sad. She was sad, folks.
The costumes in this were really good, weren't they?
Were.
I know
they
this
were
is
really good.
This is it's a bit. I'm just trying to find things now, but I really liked the Scarlet Witch costume. I loved Agatha's. Yeah, it was really good. It felt very Salem Witch Trials in a funny way, didn't it?
Definitely.
And it was all. Stunning. It was all really pretty. All the house, how the house changed with every single iteration of an updated sitcom look. Yep. It was just really pretty. I really liked it.
Do you know about the Mephisto thing?
I know that at the time the show was airing, there was a lot of people like, oh yeah, it's Mephisto. He's behind it all. And he's kind of Satan in the Marvel Universe, if I'm remembering right. Lord of Flies or something. Yeah,
something like that. But it wasn't Mephisto, as everyone was really disappointed with that. But that's Marvel fans for you, you know. They're full of hope. You know, I've Mephisto's an Infinity Gauntlet, which is a good graphic novel if you like the Infinity Stones and stuff like that. So I was like, oh, that could be interesting. You know, that could tie into the, but no, it wasn't. It was just it was a villain origin story. You know, it's bit. Yeah. Do you know Wanda is essentially the Marvel version of the Joker now? Look, that's essentially who Wanda is now. So that's, so there you go.
Yeah, you're completely right. I think we've made a lot of points about how this show was good, but it could have been better. Lots of things lots of things are not great about it. I really enjoyed Paul Bettany's performance throughout. Yes. I thought he was stunning, absolutely exemplary. He's got a brilliant voice. I've spoken before on the podcast about how people's voices are like a big part of me enjoying something. And Paul Bettany just has a beautiful speaking voice. Listen to him recite a phone book or something. But yeah, it's really, really good to see.
There's going to be a video coming out in the coming days where Lewis will be caught holding a gun to Paul Bettany's head with a phone book in his hand. Read it!
This is going to be a bit of a weird thing to say, but I liked the arguments between Wanda and Vision, which is a very strange thing to say. It felt visceral. It felt real. It was scary. It was, because that's it's something that I think a lot of people are scared of, is such shouting match arguments as that, and to see like Vision screaming at Wanda, just like, oh, because I'm scared. I don't know who you are. You've never been like this. What's going on?
Yeah.
I enjoyed seeing that sort of interplay between Wanda and Vision. It was really good.
Definitely. Should we read some patron opinions?
Yeah, go on. Let's read some patron opinions.
Amazing. So we've only got one this week, but it's very extensive, and it's from our good patron Darius, who's in the chat right now listening live. Hello, Darius. How are you doing? WandaVision is a metaphor for grief. It's a pretty good series. Wanda can somehow create life. She didn't intentionally start the hex, but kept going. Evan Peters is a dick joke, a rubbish one at that. Yeah, and according to Kevin Feige, it's the fans' fault for jumping to multiverse, not theirs. I don't really know what that.
It was sort of. Yeah, I annoyed me, the Evan Peters thing, because it's, now that obviously Disney and Fox have been acquired by each other or whatever nightmare situation has happened there, I was like, oh, well, that could be an interesting thing to say. There are actual alternate universes through which a Quicksilver has leaked into this universe. That could be an interesting way to look at it. That didn't happen, and it did frustrate me, the thing about Mephisto. Apparently one of his titles is Lord of Flies or something, and there was like a shot in WandaVision when the boys are in Agatha's house, and I think Agatha's just sat on the sofa and she looks at the curtain and there's like a bug that's like a little fly on the curtain, and it sort of zooms in on the fly and you're like, ooh, that's, well, there must be Mephisto then. But no, it wasn't, so that's good.
It reminds me of those YouTube videos where they're like, WandaVision explained, top 10 spoilers, and like, there's like a picture of like something happening in the show, and there's a big red circle, and the red circle is just empty, as if it's like pointing to it. It's like, you've just put a fucking circle in one of the stills of the show. There's nothing, it's just clickbaity shite. Yeah, what else? WandaVision made me care about Wanda and Vision's relationship, because I cried in this one where I didn't in Infinity War. I actually cared about it more in Infinity War.
Oh, that's a hot take.
I thought it was pretty understandable. I mean, Vision was lit. They could have fleshed it out a bit more, but they did it in this show. But like, Vision was the only one that really sort of was there for her, I guess.
Yeah. I liked... I did feel that Vision was sort of bizarrely the emotional centre of this show, which I don't think was ever intended, but because you were in the same boat as Vision, you didn't know what was going on either.
Yeah.
And especially, I mean, this is probably different for other people, but for me, at the very least, I barely remember Infinity War, I barely remember Endgame, I barely remember a lot of Marvel properties.
Yes,
so I did feel like I was in the same boat of him, as saying, oh, I don't remember what came before WandaVision. Neither do I, Paul Bettany. Neither do I.
No one does.
Mm.
Despite the song, it was Agatha all along. It was still Wanda. And do people realise a villain can be the main protagonist in a piece of fiction? True! Mm-hmm. You know, if they'd have went with that route, that would have been fine. It's just that it was portrayed as Wanda being misunderstood, and it's okay because she's grieving. But if they made her a villain, best show ever, in my opinion.
It would have been incredibly good, yeah.
The morality just wasn't it for me. You know, I really didn't. All they had to do was portray her as she was, and not let her walk away. To the fucking mountains, and it would have been amazing. I'll give them credit. The later half of this series was filmed during COVID. I've seen some people give it negative press for being a weak start to Phase 4, but it wasn't meant to be, so that's kind of unfair. It was meant to be a 10th episode, but due to COVID, they couldn't film it. So that's interesting. So maybe, you know, at the same time...
What would have happened in the 10th episode, yeah.
Yeah, but we can't sort of say, well, it could have been like this, you know? We have to judge it on what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't... Yeah, you're completely right. You can't just say, well, it could have been amazing, and wouldn't that have been good? Yeah.
So Darius gives it a 7.5 out of 10. What's your rating, Lewis? We've never done this, but let's just start now, because Darius has done it.
I think... I don't know whether they were trying to do too much stuff or too little stuff. This is a bit of a weird take. I don't think they needed the sword agents. I don't think they needed like this army of soldiers marching through the field sort of thing. If it had have been, it's like what you say with the moral, how they deal with the morals of what Wanda's done. If they'd have had Agatha be controlling Wanda's mind, and then making Wanda do these things, and then she snaps to and she's like, oh my god, I've been doing this for months or whatever, and then she snaps to and tears it all down sort of thing, then I can get the Agatha all along. I don't know, there's lots of plates spinning, and I feel like while none of them were dropped and smashed, none of them were really spinning very well either.
No.
I don't know, as a number, 8.5, I guess? I don't really know. What would you give it?
4.5.
Oh, cool.
The morality has really pissed me off. If you can't tell. But I think I might be out of notes.
I am certainly also out of notes, yeah.
So do you have a closing statement?
I do, yeah. I think I'm just going to say my plates thing again, because that was really good. While there were a lot of plates spinning, none of them smashed, and none of them really spun as well as they could. I feel like they needed to take something away and just make a better show overall.
Excellent. And you know what my closing statement is?
What's that?
Was Mephisto spinning the plates? No, it wasn't.
There was a fly on the plate.
It's Mephisto, clearly. But there you go, folks, I guess.
Yes, so, have we got some bits of... Go on, sorry?
I was just going to say that's us.
That is us. Have we got some bits of horrific shilling to do?
Yes, we do. We do indeed. We all have link trees. Lewis's link tree is linktr.ee/Lewis_Brindley. Mine's is /Ohirim, and the podcast is /Shouting Into the Void. And Mephisto's is...
You were going to do that.
Yeah, I'm predictable that way. It's /fly
that
on a
fly.
Plate. Yeah, flyesplatespinning.com. We've got all our socials, Instagram, YouTube, so go have a look and see what you fancy.
And you can donate to Mephisto's ongoing attempt to film another episode of WandaVision in which it is revealed that Mephisto was the bad guy all along.
Yep.
There's Mephisto all along.
Yep.
They've got a whole song queued up. Yep.
So I've got my version, Lewis has got his version. we also have a PayPal donate button, so anything you can spare, anything at all, would be greatly appreciated. Yeah, and we also have Patreon, and we want to take the opportunity to thank our wonderful patrons as we do every week. Chloe.
Thank you.
Darius.
Thank you.
Peter.
Thank you.
Aditya.
Thank you.
Richard.
Thank you.
Natalie.
Thank you.
And Doogie.
Thank you, one and all. You make the show possible. You allow us to have complex discussions of morality. It's not a complex discussion of morality. Yeah. Don't mentally enslave people, Wanda. That's,
Or anyone.
Yeah, or anyone, actually. Yeah, good point.
There you go. We also have merch on Teespring and Redbubble. We sell tote bags, jumpers, mugs, all sorts of tacky shit. Go have a look or I will enslave your whole town because I'm sad. and last but not least, we are partnered with an amazing company called Number 12 Crochet Avenue, and Lewis is going to say some wonderful things about them, all of which are true.
Indeed we are. Number 12 Crochet Avenue is a wonderful company run by my wonderful wife in which she crochets, and she's very, very good at it. If you would like to bless your Instagram feed with some very beautiful content, then you can go to Instagram and go to at Number 12 Crochet Avenue, and you can give her a cheeky follow and a couple of likes and all that sort of stuff. I would highly recommend it. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, that is WandaVision.
Indeed it is.
Yes, and what are we doing next time, Lewis?
We're doing Fatwas.
Yes, and if you don't know what that is, it's Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
I'm sorry, what's that, Danny?
Yeah, exactly.
What? Sorry?
We're continuing.
Use the common name that everybody
knows. No! We're continuing on the Marvel, bandwagon. And we'll, milk it till it's dead. As the head of.
That's what Marvel are doing.
Yeah, that's Kevin Feige's epitaph. Milk it till it's dead. But yeah, so we will see you, hear you, smell you. Just commit moral atrocities, but put some fun music over it and make you doubt whether it even happened at all next week.
Yes, thank you very much for listening. Goodbye.
Goodbye.